Well, as I said, I want to talk just real briefly about missions and also about our food pantry. The main thing about missions is this. The past, I think, week it was, maybe the past 2 weeks, some of the things that Ashley sent in to get updated as far as her passport and things like that, she's got that back and it's all done and ready to go. So I tell you that in case you're interested and you've been holding back a little bit and wondering if going down to Brazil is something that you want to do. That doesn't mean that all the roadblocks are out of the way. It just means that that one right now is starting to ease a little bit. And so if this is something you've thought about, I really encourage you to act on it. If it's possible, I think that you're going to be blessed by this. I happen to know firsthand that there are folks who would love to do this and just simply can't. And if you want to participate in, if you're on the fence about that, I encourage you to do it and talk to those who have gone and participated in this ministry before. It's a little bit shorter now than it was going to be. I think it's down to 7 days. I think, right? 7 days. It was initially going to be a little bit longer than that. But it's not too late, guys. If you want to participate in this mission, we've got room. There's people that can still go. And so I would encourage you to talk to the office. Actually, it's probably just easier to call the office and tell me or Katrina that you're interested. But you can also talk to Jim Hoffman. You can talk to Russ Varner. Talk to me. Just connect in some way. The other thing is this. We have servants that work with our food pantry the second, fourth Wednesday out of every month. One of those has been, he's just been working just very, very hard with these things, and he's got some other things he needs to take care of, and it's kind of wearing down on him a little bit. And so he came to me the other day, and he says, look, I love this. He said, but I gotta stop for a little bit. And so if you've been interested in the food pantry or a place to serve, I strongly encourage you to do this. It's here 2 days out of the month. You get to connect with a number of people throughout the community. And then throughout the month, I'm back and forth with you. Katrina's back and forth with you a little bit with some supplies and other things that we need. I know Laura gets a lot of supplies that we need and brings them in. A lot of things get donated. I know Cody does the same thing. Everybody really helps with this and works with it. But if you've been looking and you've been wondering, you know, you may say to yourself, like, I want to serve and I want to find a place in which I can participate in a ministry in the church, but I'm just not at this place right now that I can work every Sunday teaching five-year-olds. Or maybe I don't feel comfortable working all 3 Sundays teaching an adult Sunday school class once we get that going again. Here's something that you can do, and it's very, very important. It's very important to a lot of these people who come by. And so talk to me, please. Call the office, and I will talk you through the whole thing. We'll go through it together. I'll do it with you if you want, just to kind of start you off. It's not real hard, but it is something enjoyable, and I think it's beneficial to others and fulfilling to yourself to participate in these things, okay? So let me know if the food pantry, let me know if it's just something you want to know more about, you know. Call me up and say, hey, look, I don't know yet if I want to do this, but tell me more about it. Let me come in and watch. Let me come in and see. That's easy enough, too. And so we can do those things, okay? I'm going to drop a harsh truth on you this morning. You ready for this? You are not everyone's favorite person, okay? Can we just admit this, move on with life? Not everyone likes you, all right? Not, this is shocking. Not everyone likes me. I remember telling Ashley the other day, I said, I'm a preacher of the word. I'm hated by over half the people on this planet just for waking up in the morning. I said, yeah, that's just the way life is. And not only does everyone not like everybody else, but if you have professed faith in Jesus, not only do you rub some people the wrong way, but Jesus rubs some people the wrong way, and now you're a follower of Christ. There's a lot of people. In fact, the majority of the people on this planet or who have ever lived on this planet are antagonistic to God the Creator, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if that's what we profess, if that's what we define ourselves as, you've got to know, or you ought to know by now, that there is going to be trouble in your life. There's going to be trouble in your relationships with people. There's going to be trouble, might be trouble in your jobs. There might be trouble in your hobbies. There might be trouble in different organizations that you're a part of. There's going to be trouble. And these are things that maybe the person who is just beginning to understand who Jesus is might not see this. But if you're understanding who Christ is, or if you've walked with Christ for a while, this is something you should know, right? And if you think that life ought to be easy and that everybody ought to agree with what you do, if you think that you're never going to be out on the limb, out on the edge with no one there other than Christ himself, you ought to know better. You ought to know better at this point, especially as we look through some of the histories of the church and what people have done and how they've lived and what they've sacrificed for the spread of the gospel. We see this today when Paul is writing to his true son in faith, Timothy. In fact, he's writing in 2 Timothy. You can turn to 2 Timothy if you wish. He's writing in 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy is a very, very special letter because you get the impression that as Paul's writing this to this pastor that he's raising up, this is the last time they're going to talk. And he's going to be killed after this. And so it really is a special letter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to see what people have done and prepare us as we go through our life and our ministry. Father, we thank you that we are not, if we face trouble and hardship and trial, that we are not the only ones to ever go through this. And we also thank you, Father, that you prepare us for it such that we don't have to be worried and scared and terrified and frozen when these things happen. Father, help us. Help us now to see these things, to as you paint this picture of the world and our response in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are called, some of these letters are called the pastorals as opposed to the prison epistles, although Paul is in prison at the time. And this letter, 2 Timothy, is written to Timothy, but don't assume that it's only, you know, applicable to Timothy or only applicable to those who would be raised up in what we call a pastor of the church. This applies to all Christian men and women. It applies to all ministers. That is, anyone who wants to be involved in the ministry of Christ, anyone in their life, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, who wants to live out their faith, who wants to live out their profession in Christ, who wants to take up this mantle of loving Jesus and loving others, this applies to you. And so I think, or I hope, that we have covered every believer in Christ in this room. Now again, as we've been going through 1 John, we're talking about the gospel message and we're talking about how it's lived out properly in obedience to Christ and love for others. And again, that's really directed to, or I think really speaks to, those who have an understanding of Jesus but not a real close relationship with him, haven't walked very long with Christ. Here is a little bit different. With this series, now we're talking about those who have professed Christ. They use that as their identity, and there's some things you ought to know, as Jesus tells his disciples, as he tells us through his word. Because of the rejection of what creation knows, we looked at this last week, because the rejection of what creation knows, life is hard. And it will be until the completion, the consummation of Christ's kingdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this, and I'm just going to read this for you. But mark this, Paul's writing this to Timothy, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. And while we're doing this, think to yourself, in the world and culture in which we live, in the world and cultures of generations before us, you know, these bad things aren't unique to right now and today. Paul's writing this stuff 2,000 years ago, okay? So think about these things and see if Paul's on the mark here. See if God's really telling us the truth. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I love how he kicks that in with every one of these just harsh lessons. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Now, does this sound like anybody that you've ever heard of? I hear about these things all the time. Not only that, I hear or I see myself being tempted into many of these things. And yet, it's because of my love for Christ, or I hope it's because of my love for Christ, that I grow to detest so many of these things. And I think that that's the goal for many of us. Anyway, Paul says, look, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes, gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. I love verse 7. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge or come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. They're not going to get very far. As in the case of those men, their folly ultimately will be clear to everyone. So that's the situation. That's the situation. And I want to go into these situations. I want to go into this world and this life, if I'm going to follow Jesus, knowing all that I need to know. I want to be prepared. I want to be strengthened. I want to be given or granted and have this wisdom grow in me. These are the things that Timothy and you and me are going to face, things that we have faced and things that we will be facing. Once again, just like last week, note that these things have been happening since the beginning of the church. So is Paul going to get to this point, this place as he's writing to Timothy, is there a you should know better or you know better moment? Absolutely there is. He lays out the depraved mind of men, and then he talks to Timothy and you and I. Look at verse 10 and 11. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. You know what kind of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. So this is the condition of the world today, writes Paul. It's the condition of the world tomorrow, and it's the condition of the world 2,000 years later, apparently. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, but you, minister of the word, you know better. You know better, or at least you ought to know better. You know about the history of the church and the trouble that people have gone through to bring you to this place and bring you to this point. Paul is talking about his own history as an apostle of Christ and the provision of God through it all. These are the things that we should know better, but maybe a little twist on words. Maybe if we don't, maybe these are the things we should know better. Maybe these are the things we need to study, we need to read. We need to see the persecutions. We need to see the trouble and the trial, the temptations, that men and women throughout history have gone through to bring us to Russellvania, Ohio on this morning to hear the Word of God. Maybe when we see trouble in our life, when we see persecution, I don't even want to talk about trouble and persecution. We'll get there in just a moment, okay? Paul is talking about the history of the many disciples, what was sacrificed and endured for the sake of the gospel. That is the truth about Jesus. These are the things Timothy knows and the things that we know and can know and should know better. And we see this in Paul's letters, but we also see this throughout the book of Acts. That's why Acts was written. That's why that account of the spread of the gospel is so important. It shows the power of the Holy Spirit. It shows the trouble, shows persecution. It shows our history. Paul had to run for his life in Damascus, or from Damascus in Acts 13, from Iconium in Acts 14, from beside Antioch in Acts 13, Thessalonica in Acts 17, and Berea in Acts 17. How's your day going so far? How's your morning? Run for his life so that we might listen to, that we might live out, that we might gain the Word of God in our lives. You know what? He did all that without knowing you either. He knew Jesus. He knew what it was going to take for this truth to spread in a world that hates Jesus, that hates truth. See, these are the things we need to know. These are the things we ought to know. And we certainly ought to know better. Just a taste of some of the things that Paul went through. And by the way, this is a taste in 2 Corinthians. You've heard these before in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, and in danger from Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city and in danger in the country. I've been in danger at sea and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. Look, who's weak that I don't feel weak? Who's led into sin that I don't inwardly burn? And this is not even at the end of Paul's ministry. There's going to be trouble. You ought to know that if you're going to follow Jesus. You should know that if you've been walking with Christ. And what this does is it changes our perspective in the face of trouble. Suddenly we begin to see that those who attack the gospel are not attacking me, they're attacking Jesus Christ. And I have a responsibility to act, conform myself to the character of Christ in the face of trouble, and we mess this up so bad. That one gets stuck in my craw. I'll just be honest with you. That the church has done more damage to the church. Those who profess Christ has done incredible damage to the church. Because in the face of trouble, we do not live out the character of Christ. Bothers me. And look, I'm not saying it's easy. I get tempted too, all the time. I mean, who doesn't get tempted when their pride, right, is cornered? Or when their safety is cornered, or when their comfort is attacked, right? We sure get tempted. But look at what Paul has gone through, and just a taste of it. And through it all, this is verse 11 of 2 Timothy 3, through it all, in the face of a depraved generation, God remained faithful. He remained faithful to his word. He remained faithful to the spread of the gospel, even in Paul's life. Not faithful to ease or safety or comfort. These are the things you ought to know. We should know this by now. Knowledge of this history, if nothing else, should cause us to pursue the character of Christ. if not all of the things that we read in verses 2 through 5 there. No one ever said pursuing Christ would be easy. And something else we should know by now, or something else you need to know, if you are looking for ease, a servant of Christ is not your path. Okay? You got a decision to make. If you're looking for ease in life, if you're looking for comfort in life, if you're looking to please those around you, being a servant of Christ is not your path. Now, I'm not suggesting that you give up on joy. I'm not suggesting that you give up on peace, an incredible peace. More peace than joy, really. I mean, there really is a peace knowing that you are saved for eternity and that all of the times you've screwed up has been piled onto Jesus Christ who loves you. There's an incredible peace that comes with that. I'm not suggesting you give those things up. But I am suggesting that we give up a pursuit of ease and comfort and safety when and if the Spirit demands, because the Spirit demands this often from Paul. Look at 12 and 13 of 2 Timothy 3. In fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You should know at this point, and I hope we know better as we go through life, that those who have given their lives over to Jesus will face persecution. Again, we're going to get to persecution here in just a moment. But this is stated by God in His Word as a truth, not as a chance or a suggestion. Did you notice that? This is where you, for those who take this seriously, this is really where you do separate, as it were, the men from the boys. What do you believe? Because you will face persecution. And I think this follows along with Paul's other statement in Galatians 1, which is also, I think, a very freeing statement. He says this: am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Even we mess that up sometimes, right? Even we mess that up. Even we think, well, the church, or those ministers in the church, or those church members, what's their number one job? What's their number one goal? What's their number one responsibility? Oh, it's to be nice and to please people. No, it isn't. Remember, you are not the world's favorite person, okay? It is to pursue truth in Jesus Christ. It is to live out His character. And often that coincides with love, compassion, forgiveness, patience, all of those wonderful things, but not at the expense of truth. And the world hates truth. The world doesn't hate truth. The world hates anybody's truth other than what they've invented is true. I mean, that's really what that is. And so we need to see the history of the church. You need to know the history of the disciples, the history of the apostles that spread the word, the history of the work of the Holy Spirit, the history of the church, and trust me, you will be doing yourself and the kingdom a favor when you look at the trouble and trials, struggle. Last weekend, you probably, well, maybe some of you, used the 4th of July celebration, used the Roman candles, right? The Roman candles, shoot off, you know. Actually, it's not very funny. You know where that term comes from? Roman candle was a Christian that Nero would put in the street in a cage and light on fire to light the streets of Rome. That was a Roman candle. How's your persecution going? You see, it was during the times of Paul that people would have their children taken, dressed up as animals, and thrown to the lions, trying to get their moms and dads to denounce Christ. and hail Caesar as God. You going through any persecution today? Anybody? Anybody willing? You going through persecution for the word today? There will be trouble. And guys, it helps us to see the history of the church, because we face trouble in this life because of our stance and our belief in Jesus Christ, and we shrug it off. We jump over that obstacle. We stare down. We laugh at that black train because we know the history of our people. And I'm going to live out the word of Jesus Christ. See, these are the things we ought to know better when we accept Jesus. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you think. It changes how you look at hardship. A suffering servant is necessary for the advance of the gospel. It always has been. Actually, flip back to the second chapter of 2 Timothy. I don't think this is going to be on your screen, but I'll read it for you. It's kind of a late addition. Second chapter of 2 Timothy says this in verse 8. Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." What is Paul saying here? Paul is not saying that even though I'm in chains, the word of God is free and is working. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the word of God is spreading and is working because I am here in chains. And all of Caesar's court, except for Caesar himself, says all of Caesar's household comes to know who Christ is because of Paul's imprisonment. The suffering servant, the troubled servant, the persecuted servant is not only a result of living out the gospel, it is necessary for the spread of the gospel. These are things you ought to know if you're going to give your life to Jesus. They're the things we should know better. There is nothing fun about this message, is there? But there's a lot of things that are true. And there's a lot of things that are eye-opening. All in this little passage of just one letter that Paul writes to Timothy. And certainly writes to you and me. And people will go from bad to worse in their deceptions, but they will also keep deceiving, writes Paul to Timothy. This is why we must know better. In the face even of deception, he says to Timothy, pursue what you know. Look at verse 14 and 15. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." Continue in what you know and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. He's talking about, no doubt, his mother and grandmother here, but he's also talking about himself as he taught Timothy. He's also talking about the Word of God. He's talking about churches around the world. He's talking about the Sunday school teacher. He's talking about the parent that you had. He's talking about the grandparent. He's talking about the minister, perhaps, that you once had that taught you about Jesus through the Word. And he says, you know these things. You know these things. So I want you to pursue these things, Timothy. And how from infancy, that is, how from a young age, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But as for you, you know better, so continue in what you've learned, become convinced of. You're going to face trouble. Others will try to deceive you, but you continue in what you know to be true. And again, he goes to the past. These are the things we should know. Paul goes to the past. You've had people in your life that teach you the word. You know them, you love them, you trust them. You've seen them and how they live. But again, who else? Paul, look at the trouble, opposition he faced. We learn from Paul in the New Testament. We learn from Peter, John, James. We learn from Matthew. We learn from Mark. We learn from Luke. We learn from Jude. We learn from Jesus himself in the New Testament. Don't give that up. Don't give that up in the face of trouble. Don't give that up in the face of persecution. Don't give that up in the face of trial and deception. I'll tell you something, though. When you look at all those names, Paul, Peter, John, James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jude, these are the authors, these are the people that God used to pen the New Testament. You ought to know them better. I ought to know them better. There will be trouble. You know this. You learn from the very word itself. Verse 16. All scripture, 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Listen to this. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. You know what that is? So that the servant of God may know better. May be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I know perhaps today might be the worst day in the world to ask somebody, hey, who's ready to accept Jesus, right? It's never the worst day to make that decision. It's always a great day to make that decision. But I'll tell you something else. As you go through your Christian walk, I hope that you do come back, maybe not to this series, but maybe to this lesson. When you're facing trouble, a trial, when you're facing sometimes inconvenience, sometimes danger, though, sometimes legitimate hardship, I hope that you do know better, that there are people that have done and gone through horrible and yet wonderful things so that you might hear the name Jesus Christ. I hope that you know going into it, as you talk to people, that you don't sugarcoat the following of Jesus Christ, that, yeah, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have persecution. But it's going to be worth it. Because you're going to have this joy and this peace about you. And you're going to have eternal life through Jesus Christ that we cannot buy, that we cannot earn, no matter what kind of trouble we go through. The secret is, nobody really wants to say out loud, is most of life is trouble anyway, whether you've accepted Christ or not. So hand your life over, give your life over to the truth of Jesus. Let him hold that, protect that, guard that as you go through the troubles that come with spreading the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you for those who have gone before and the trouble and sacrifice and hardship and persecution and danger that they have endured. And Father, we also we don't ask Father for trouble. We don't ask for persecution. But we don't ask for ease either. Father, we ask for courage. We ask for conviction. We ask for perseverance. We ask, Father, that you will help us know more and more, that we will, in fact, know better tomorrow the things we may not know today, that you will plant these things in our heart, and let that change the way we face and see the world around us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and sing.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. the setting sun. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever.
Well, today's message is not meant to scare you. It's really not meant to bring you down. It's meant to prepare, right? I mean, again, these are the things that we should know, or we should know better, certainly as we grow in Christ. Personally, when I hear Paul write to Timothy, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to face persecution. And I read about the persecution that Paul faced, and then I come across hard times or hard days or struggles in my life because of what I believe, it helps. It just helps. It's easier to go through knowing that a guy like Paul went through stuff like that. I mean, and so this is meant to strengthen you and to help you know, literally help you know better as you go through life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. And we thank you for all those who have come before who believed in that truth, in your truth, the truth. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit working in their lives to pave the way for the gospel to spread around the world. We thank you for the ministry of martyrs. We thank you for the ministry of teachers, disciples, apostles. And Father, we thank you for the ministry of men and women that we will never know the names of until we see them eternally. We thank you, Father, and we ask that you will help us know these things and make these a part of our lives and our existence, our memories, so that when we face trouble, real trouble, we'll know that this is a part of the spread of the gospel